Exodus 16, verses 31 through 36, these are God's words. And the house of Israel called its name Manah, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before Yahweh to be kept for your generations." As Yahweh commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, you have in verse 32, to be kept for your generations. And in verse 33, to be kept for your generations. And in verse 34, to be kept. And this is one of the primary themes of this passage, is that the Lord wanted them to keep, not so much to keep manna, but to keep the remembrance of God's mercy and generosity and power as he saved them and brought them through the land of Egypt, through the wilderness, out of the land of Egypt. You notice in verse 35, there's already a reminder, or an indication, maybe is a better word. There's already an indication that they're going to sin against God, and this is not going to be a short journey. It's going to be 40 years. But the Lord wants them to remember his goodness to them. And he does this by his words and by his ordinances. First, he records the shape and texture and taste of the manna for them in verse 31. He communicates the reality of the manna through description of the experience, but notice that they don't actually get to see the manna itself. So he records for them the description using the words, and he says that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, but where is it going to get put? It gets put in front of the testimony in the Ark of the Covenant. So the fact that it was there, they would know from the word, but they wouldn't be able to go into the Holy of Holies. From everything that we know about the high priest's annual trip into the Holy of Holies, and what happens when someone touches the ark instead of carrying it by its poles, it's unlikely that even the high priest ever like peeked in there to see, you know, Aaron's rod that had budded and the tablets, which are here called the testimony, which, by the way, this is obviously describing something in the future because Moses hasn't been up the mountain yet. So God gives the fact of the tabernacle and that there's a Holy of Holies in there and an ark in which is the manna. And he gives words with both the description of its location and the description of what it was like. This is an important thing for us because God wants us to remember him. But he gives us his word and his ordinances, for us his word and his sacraments, as the means by which we are to remember him and know him. Sophia, how many sacraments are there?
Two.
What are they?
Simple and fasting.
Yes, and who appointed these sacraments? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ appointed the two sacraments. And those are the things by which he comforts and strengthens us and separates us from the world, which is your answer. This week teaches us those things as well. But this is how the Lord has given us to know him, by word and sacrament. And he wants us to remember the greatness of his goodness. We hear it, don't we, at the Lord's table. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. That we show forth the Lord's death. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we show forth the Lord's death until he comes. So our God is one who wants us to remember his great work of salvation and to keep it on our minds, to live in response to his great work of salvation. So that's the first thing with this, to be kept for your generations, to be kept for your generations, to be kept. The other thing that is highlighted is the Omer. Verse 33, put an Omer of manna in it. Verse 32, fill an Omer with it. Verse 33, put an Omer of manna in it. And then verse 36, now an Omer is 1/10 of an ephah. One of the things that we see in verse 36, because he has to tell them how much an Omer is that it's not the ordinary unit of measure that they would use. They used the ephah much more than they used the Omer. The Omer was about half a gallon. The ephah was 4.84 gallons, so the Omer would be 0.484 gallons. Yeah, great math there. But the reason for using the Omer is that the Omer was each one's daily allotment. And so he chooses, very similarly, like when he was telling them how much to gather, not more and not less than the daily allotment. So there's an implication here that he doesn't just want them to remember his saving work generally. He wants them to remember that he gave every day, every Israelite, what they needed for that day. That his grace was continual and that his grace was personal. This is something that we, as we come to the table, for instance, and each of us eat the bread, and each of us drink the cup, and you see us all take it together, but each one has their portion. And it communicates the same thing, that although God's great work of salvation is given to his people corporately, he applies it personally. That you are to know him not just as the savior of the church of which you are a part, but you are to know him as your own personal savior. And you're not just to know his grace as this large mass, for lack of a better term, that gets you through overall. But his grace is something that is portioned out to you every single day. So just as you pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, so you also know every day the provision of what you need spiritually, what you need from God, not just for your body, but for your soul. And that you know him as your personal redeemer, your personal provider, your personal father, your personal savior. The Spirit is your personal companion that God himself looks out for and interacts with each one of his people individually. And so he picks the personal allotment for one day as the unit of measure, even though, even for the Israelites, it wasn't a very familiar unit of measure. And he has to tell them at the end of the chapter, oh, by the way, this is how much of an Omer was. Which, if you think about it, half a gallon of grain, or something like white coriander seed, like wafers made with honey, that's a significant amount. They were not going hungry. Half a gallon of that per person, the great generosity of our God. And he's much more, his generosity is much more known now that he has given the Lord Jesus as the true bread from heaven. They are fools who have the John 6 Israelite mindset and keep prodding the one who is the true bread given from heaven to give them more of that earthly stuff that they crave. God gives us what's good for us. He gives us our daily bread. But his great gift, what Scripture calls his indescribable gift, is the Lord Jesus himself. So those two things. One, that we are to live in remembrance of and response to the Lord's salvation, and the other, that each of us is to see and receive and rest in and rejoice over God's personally providing for you yourself, as he reminds us with the Omer measure in this passage. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to live in remembrance of Christ and response to him, and of your salvation and your love in him. Thank you for these family worship times, which call us away from the rest of our busyness and set you before us. Thank you that you meet each of us personally, individually, by way of your word, by the ministry of your spirit, just as you provided for the Israelites. Help us, Lord, to have strength and peace and confidence and joy from this, and help us to respond to you with the love that we ought to have for such a God as you have made yourself to each one of us. Loving you because you first loved us, keeping your commandments, not finding them burdensome, but rejoicing to honor you and glorify you in everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. So I pray that you would continue to work on us and in us by your Spirit, and that this portion of your word he would use in building each one of us up into Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.